سلام کعبه دلها حسین جان، سلام شمع ما فلها حسین جانم،
حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جان.
اعوذ بالله من الشیطان الرجیم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم، الحمد لله رب العالمین و به نستعین، والصلاة والسلام على اشرف الانبیاء والمرسلین، حبیب قلوبنا و طبیب نفوسنا، رحمة للعالمین، ابی القاسم محمد. اللهم صل على محمد و آل الصلاة والسلام على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين. اللهم صل على محمد،
صل على محمد وآل محمد.
اما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته. All praise and glory belongs to Allah, the creator of this universe. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the best of his creations, the last of the prophets, the doctor for our souls, the guide towards the truth. And may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon his holy progeny, who are the role models for humanity that determine the measuring scale between right and wrong. What we've been discussing is a few concepts that we wanted to bring together, and I would urge the brothers and sisters who are coming, because we decided to go through step by step so that we can connect the dots and understand the concept of test. If we understand the concept of test, there would be a lot of things in our lives would change. For now, what we're looking at our life to be is something good or something bad. So when you have a disease, you look at it something bad. When you get some blessing, then it is, you get happy about it. So if you get good marks in your test or the exam, you're happy. If you fail, you are sad, right? If you get your iPad or you get to watch SpongeBob or you get to play, you know, you're happy. And if somebody tells you you can't do that, you're sad, right? So in our life, we are looking at the world through what is good and bad with the reference point of us. So whatever is connected to me that I happen to become happy about, I will classify that as good. And whatever is related to me in which I will feel pain or suffering or sadness, I will classify that as bad. And this is not just you and I, it's every single human being looks at the world in that perspective. So nobody comes up to you and says that, alhamdulillah, I have cancer. Or that, alhamdulillah, today I found out that I failed my final exams that was supposed, I was going to go to college. People don't come up to you and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and show happiness for the hardships and difficulties or pain or suffering that they go through. And in that you have John Smith will act the same way, Rupinder will act the same way. And then Muhammad acts the same way. And when we understand that Muhammad should act a different way, and maybe even John Smith and Rupinder should act in a different way. And when we live our lives, we're actually running after this sort of happiness, or we're running after this pleasure, we're running after this state where we feel that we have achieved something or gained something. Like one of the elders, they would not come home and say, "Alhamdulillah, I got fired, you know. I lost my job, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alam." If they come back and they got the job, then they are, "Alhamdulillah, I got the job." Or if they have the job and it's continuing, then they will say, "Alhamdulillah, I have a job.
Still continuing.
And this way of looking at the world is very different than the way a mu'min is supposed to look at the world. This iman of his or her was supposed to give him or her the security from the difficulties, the hardships, and also security from the happiness and the bliss that a person ends up feeling. Right? In order for us to be able to develop that thinking, the concept of test needs to be understood. The concept of bala has to be understood. We only consider if somebody loses their job, the other people will come up to them and say, "You know, you should have some patience. Don't worry, this is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that you will be okay." Right. Nobody comes up to a person who's just won a lottery or has gained, you know, a bit of money or wealth. Nobody comes up to that person and says, "You know, you should have patience because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put you in a test." But regardless of whether the thing is good or bad, it's the reference point is us. But whatever happens to us in this world is actually a test. Whatever we did from morning till now was actually a test. The things that you looked at, the things you heard, the things you performed, the things you gained, the things you lost, the thoughts that came to your mind, the emotions that your heart felt, every single thing that you have done so far till coming here was a test. Right now also, you are in a test. And myself too, I'm in a test. My test happens to be what I'm going to say to you. In that, the knowledge that I'm supposed to give to you, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, and one of you happens to be the chosen person tonight that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to bless with the knowledge of the spirit or rizq-e ma'naviyya that you end up receiving, I will be able to receive that from him and transfer it for you. And if there's nobody, then whatever, at least we will get a reward for showing up. And the other test I have to go through is that, you know, some of you might fall asleep, some of you are not looking at me, some of you are looking at me and smiling, people are coming in and out, the concentration I can see on your faces are not there. Yet I have to keep a face, I have to keep a voice, I have to pretend and act as if everything is okay. And on top of that, do that responsibility, which is one of the greatest of responsibilities that anybody who sits down on this minbar. My intentions are being tested, whether they have sincerity or whether they are there to, you know, just to let the time pass. And eventually this majlis is going to end and then you're going to go and do the rest of the stuff that you have to do. So not just in our actions or not just the things that come up, but even our mind and our heart is being tested. The reason why I brought this up is that if you can maintain that idea that whatever is happening to you, whether you classify as good or bad, is actually a test. And the harder test actually is of the blessing. So if you've been blessed with children, you've been blessed with a wife, you've been blessed by a car, you've been blessed for a job, money, all of these things, if you're blessed with, it's actually a harder test. If you lose your job, you lose your money, you lose your children, you lose your wife, you lose your husband, you lose all that you have, it's an easier test. Because in that test, you're going to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in the test of blessings, you're going to become heedless. You're going to be contented. You're going to say everything is okay. Nothing is wrong, so therefore, Alhamdulillah, I'm fine, everything's okay. And you get into this comfort zone where you start letting go of things that you should be more careful of. From the topic that we started where we left off, I want to continue from it. Well, let's see if the rest of the people who were here yesterday could come up so that we don't have to repeat too many times. So far we can do a bit of summary if you like. We started off saying that every single thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created as means. Everything that has been created as means is means for getting to another means, to another means, to another means, and the end is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We also mentioned that every single thing that happens in our life is actually a test. We mentioned yesterday that whatever it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew was going to be your need and my need, He has provided that to us, even before creating us. So we needed the earth to be able to live our lives, so therefore He created the earth before we were brought onto this earth. We needed parents, so He brought the parents first. We needed somebody who was going to feed us, so He gave us the mother. We needed somebody who was going to go out and work hard and bring all of the toys and, you know, clothes and all the other stuff, He gave us a father. And if somebody doesn't have a father, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings some other means for that person to be still be provided as an orphan. And every single thing that you and I need to maintain this body, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided to us. But because we only consider what we need is only of the body, we don't consider the needs of our soul. So if anybody remembers, what is one of the needs of the soul? Read Quran is one of the needs, Salah is another need. Whatever is in your religion, Ji? Religion, yes. So whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made as an obligation for you is actually the need of yours. If you fulfill that need, who gets the benefit? You do. If you drink that milk, who gets the benefit? Remember the example we gave yesterday? That the mother wants to have the son drink the milk, but the child does not understand the importance of milk, which is actually his need, so the child is promised that if you were to drink the milk, we'll give you a chocolate. What was that chocolate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised us?
It was a test.
Right. That is, what was that chocolate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised us if you pray namaz?
Heaven.
Okay, good job. Alright. And what was the grounding? I didn't mention that yesterday. What was the grounding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised if we don't pray namaz? Hell. Yeah. So this giving us the motivation of gain and loss to perform the needs that are our own. And if we were to perform those needs, the benefit will be for us, not for anybody else. And if we are still in that mentality of a child where we need a chocolate or grounding to perform salah, and we happen to be 40 or 50, or a person like myself who has gone, you know, beard's gone white and is getting closer to their grave where another 15, 20 years are left in this world, if I've still managed to get myself to maintain that level of performing my needs because I need that chocolate or I want to stay from the grounding of hell, then you know this mentality can be manipulated by those individuals who are the enemies of religion. Because they can use their mentality and say that, look, the people who are religious, their motivation is very shallow. Look, I'll build my character without actually needing a chocolate. I'll become a better human being without actually having the promise of heaven. I will refrain from hurting others even though I know I don't need the motivation of loss of hell. And look at these people that are religious. All they need is that motivation of greed and the loss of hell. So who's better? Me or them? And if we do not develop that mindset where we can say to that person, look, this promise of heaven was to the point where there is a child who needs the motivation. I've grown up to the point where I'm going to perform the duties that are obligated to me as needs for that being that I know I am. And I will change myself. I will change my habits, not so that I can go into heaven, because I have been told this by my Creator who wants peace and justice in this whole world. I will feed your stomach not because for the sake of heaven, but because we as human beings are all connected together. We're not segregated, we're not separate. If I do not feed you, that loss is going to come back to me. If I do not protect your honor, then my honor is not going to be protected. If I do not take care of your children, then my children are not going to be taken care of. We as human beings are in the same boat. Whether you happen to be a Christian, Jew, Hindu, or Sikh, or even to the point if you are an atheist, we're in the same boat. If I do not stop you from making a hole in that boat, then all of humanity is going to sink. Yesterday I gave you the example of, what was that handbag that was like $2,000? Yeah, it's okay. Probably the sisters remember. It was Louis Vuitton or something, right? Louis Vuitton. I don't know if Maharaj for Louis Vuitton is okay or not, but... So somebody says, you know, well, who am I harming if I'm going to go? And I mentioned that this is an extreme, right? So who am I harming if I'm going to go and buy that handbag which is worth $2,000? I'm not harming anybody. And you Muslim, why are you jealous if I go spend $2,000 on that handbag? Just because you don't have $2,000 to spend on a handbag, so you become jealous and you say that we are against the development and the civilization of the West? No, that's not the case of jealousy or anything. You who are going and spending $2,000 on a bag which is made out of leather, which probably the cost is not even, you know, $40 or $100, you're spending your money on that. And do you know what is behind making that bag? Do you know how many children have to be forced into labor? You know, the people who are making these bags, they have to slave for 8 hours, 10 hours, 14 hours a day and get paid peanuts. Do you know these manufacturers who are making this and gaining 2,000, 3,000% profit? Where do you think that money is going to go? It's going to go to those 80 people who will own the wealth of 3.5 billion people, and the inequality of wealth is going to be such that only these 80 people will be able to make the decisions for the rest of the world, because they are the masters now. By you spending and going into that extreme, you've given the opportunity for a few to control the rest of humanity, where you and I are now prisoners to their will. Where they can change the governments as they please, where they can change the presidents as they please, where they can rig the elections as they please, where they can change the foreign and the domestic policy of any country as they please, where they can take your privacy and do as whatever that they want to do to you, and you will not have the option to even say what you're doing is wrong. We don't want humanity to fall prey to a few, so that their self-vested interests can be fulfilled and the rest of us cannot even, you know, live in our own means. And the amount of debt that people have on credit cards and credit line, if they were to pay this debt off, it's a revolving debt, they can be in debt for the rest of their lives and for thousands of years. You never get out of debt by paying minimum payments. These are extremes. And we don't want you to make a hole in that boat. Right? So all of us need to develop that strength to be able to perform the duties of our religion, to acquire the knowledge of our religion. Now, not based on the motivation of heaven or hell. We have to grow up now. Our children have to grow up in maturity. Our elders have to start acting like elders. Our mothers have to become the mothers of Karbala, and the sisters have to become the sisters of Karbala. Where the mothers of Karbala did not perform that sacrifice for anything but the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The people who wanted to perform worships for heaven, they were left in Medina and Makkah. The ones who wanted heaven, they were left in Makkah going around the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they left the Imam of the time because they were not willing to shed the blood from their forehead. Today too, we are okay with just staying quiet as long as the God of Dua Kumail is happy. As we mentioned to you, that whatever is means becomes your end is your God. We're happy that the God of Dua Kumail is okay because every Thursday we're able to submit to it. We're okay that the God of Friday is okay because every Friday we're able to come. If Friday prayers and Friday Dua Nutbah and Dua Kumail becomes means for us, for another means, for the purity of heart, it will not be possible for us to stay quiet in front of all of the unfairness that goes on in our own community, in our own households and the rest of the places. It's not possible. The reason why our salah has not affected us, has not taken us from anything which is not disliked, which is disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and something which is purposeless, is because our salah is God. Our salah has left the place of means. It's a God now. Yeah, I've done my Zohren, I've done my Maghriben, I've submitted to the God of Salah and I'm okay. If that Salah didn't become means for you to stop doing the Munkirat from the disliked actions by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then how is that Salah? We have our elders who've lived in this world for 40, 60 years. 70 years. They've prayed all of their prayers. They've gone for Hajj, they've gone for Ziyarah. When they come back, they are still have the same attitude of segregation and prejudice. And they will be proud to say that I've gone for Hajj 5 times, 10 times. When you get to Hajj, this is means for you to be able to understand that all of you are the same. None of you are different. If there's any difference, it's the one who's more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no white, black, yellow. There's no, I'm a doctor, I'm an engineer, I'm this, I'm that. There's no such thing that I drive a Maserati and you do not, or I have this house, or I have that, I'm the chairman of this, or I'm the president of this. Or I'm from Punjab and you're not. Being proud of the terminal they landed on. If Hajj, which has been performed for hundreds of years, if it has not become the end, today we would not be in this place. If it was means, we would be united together. If it was means, we would not be asking the question why. We should be saying to the in front of will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes. In Hajj he says, sit down. Where am I supposed to sit down? Sit down. What am I supposed to do? Kuch nahi, nothing. Just sit down. Don't do anything, just sit down. But why? No. I'm telling you, just sit down. Teaches you submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Though you do not understand what is the reason behind it, you're supposed to just say yes. Sit down. Today on everything, even the ones that the fatawa have come from the Marajain, we're asking why. You know, Maulana sent this question and the answer did come back, but I'm not really... I still need to ask you. Where is the logic? You ask a specialist, he's given you an answer. You want to ask somebody. Do jamaate pass? And that do jamaate pass for my younger brother is like somebody who's like, you know, gone to a little bit of education. You'll be content from the do jamaate pass person's answer, but you're not content from the person who's a specialist who spent 60, 40, 60 years. Where is the slim? Where is the mission? Somebody comes, okay, you need to wear the Islamic dress. Who said that? Well, show me in the Quran. Quran? Okay, read me, for example, Surah Kawthar. You want me to show from the Quran? Surah Kawthar is the shortest surah. I'm not telling you to explain to me, just read it. Inna atena kal kawthar fasalleh. Well, your mukharij are wrong. What do you mean my mukharij are wrong? Your mukharij are wrong. I cannot differentiate between an alif and an ayn. Or a, you know, seen and a. But you want me to show where the Islamic dress is an obligation from the Quran? Why don't you get to the point where you can at least recite Quran properly, and then maybe we can go through that process of getting you to that level where I can show you that particular verse in the Quran or the verses that are indirectly telling you to wear the Islamic dress. At least get yourself to that point. It would be an arrogant statement to say to somebody, show me in the Quran, when we know that I cannot even read the alif ba of it. You want to understand it, the answer is there. Get yourself to that point. Even if I showed you, then what? Well, see, my husband says I can't do it. So what was the point of me showing you from the Quran? If you were just going to do what your husband says, but didn't you say that, husband, you're supposed to obey your husband? You obey your husband as long as it's the authority and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say to the brothers, have a beard. Oh, my wife doesn't like it. Didn't you say that you're supposed to do whatever the wife says? Who's our God? That husband who has become the end now is the God. And the wife who has become the end now is the goddess. Husband was means, it has become the end. The wife was means, she's become the end. So now they are goddess and God. Day in and day out, submission to their will is our religion. Sometimes boss becomes God. Sometimes the cell phone becomes God. Sometimes car becomes God. Sometimes money becomes God. Sometimes knowledge becomes God. How many years did you spend, Maulana? 25 years. So your goal was to spend 25 years, gain the knowledge. It was means. Did you get to your end? If still in your heart is the love of the world so that the people can give you the money so it can fill your pockets, Or I have a degree in history and I'm such a big, massive person. If you're that massive, to charge people now and in advance charge people now to say that, okay, you're supposed to give me such and such amount of money, otherwise I will not recite the Majlis of Imam Hussein. What have you learned from history? Haven't you learned that the enemies of Imam Hussein had the love of this world in their hearts? Haven't you learned that the neck of Imam Hussein was cut because of the love of this world? You have a PhD degree, but you haven't learned from history that these were the problems, issues that were created by which Karbala happened. When means become end, whether it is on the side of that you think is worldly or you think is religious, everything goes apart. So why do we get into this state? Yesterday, since where we left off, we'll try to go forward from there. If you can recite, the salawat is also means for the purity and the freshness of your soul. Plus, we can recite a louder salawat as becomes means for those people who are still not awake. So. So what we said was that we have the weakest. We are the weakest body. We are the weakest animal on this planet. Right? And the strongest entity in the universe as a creation, as the soul. And we said that there were many souls, and every single thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created has a soul. And we went through that discussion yesterday. Okay. Out of these souls, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected, He said that I'm going to put inside of you my soul. And then you have the body, which is the animal, which is the weakest in creation. And then you have the soul, which is the highest in creation. And just by knowing that, you know something's going to happen. True? Something's going to happen. That all of this is going to create some sort of issues. Right? Yeah. So yesterday we said that the animal inside of us wants what?
Territory.
A territory. What did we say those territories were?
Yellow.
The yellow borders. Yeah? The yellow borders, that this is the border, you cross the peace bridge, and it's so funny always. I'm driving and then there's this yellow line. It's like, you pass a yellow line. Yeah, they do have a yellow line. And you pass through the yellow line, now the earth is still the same. It's the same bridge. But now all of a sudden you're into another country. It's the same earth. Take all the yellow lines off. Take all the yellow lines off. What do you get? The same earth. When you take all the yellow lines off and becomes the same earth, who are we? The same human beings. Right? The same human beings. Is this one saying I'm a Canadian, the other one saying I'm an American. You have the same emotions, you have the same intellect, you have the same feelings, you are a father. If your son is happy with you, you are happy. If your wife is happy with you, you are happy. In every single thing that you and I have, we have commonality. Even your eyes and nose, I have five senses, you have five senses. If somebody, you know, hits me, yeah, I get hurt, you get hurt. We're from the same father and mother. Even if you don't accept, you know, creation and you're still in the evolution stage. Because once you go through your evolution, you will come to the creation stage. You're still evolving. It's okay, you evolve. You'll get to that. We just got there a bit faster. It's okay. We'll wait for you until you get to the creation stage. You know, I mean, even if you are in the evolution stage, we're still common. That Big Bang is our father. Right? If there wasn't any other Big Bang that created me, it was the same Big Bang by which you were created too, and I was created as well. Right? So the animal side of us wants that yellow line. And what does the soul want?
Power.
Awesome. You can recite a loud salawat for my little brothers. So this soul that wants power, but what type of power does it want?
Freedom, will.
Right. But what type of power does it want? What did we say? The soul is the most powerful entity in creation. Our soul. It's the most powerful entity in creation. What do you think this power that the soul is looking for? Is it like, more than 50% power?
No.
You know how your cell phone gets charged? Are you satisfied with like 10% power?
No.
You keep your charger until it's 25%, then 30%. Even sometimes when it's 100%, you don't let go of your charger. But when I let go, it's okay. It will come down to 99, 98, 70, you'll still be okay. No. Just like keep plugging the charge. The soul wants in absolute. The soul wants everything to be in absolute. When it comes to power, it's not satisfied with even 1% less. So guess what's going to happen? The people who are able to conquer, what are they going to do? The people who are able to conquer, they'll conquer countries. Once they've conquered all of the countries, guess what they want?
Planets.
Yeah, if they've conquered all of the countries, the soul still wants the absolute power. Says, you know, there's a moon there. Let's go put a flag. Yeah. And then afterwards, what we'll do is we will send this ships that will go there and colonize the moon. Then who's going to be the president there? Right, so I'm going to be, because the soul is wanting the ultimate power, the absolute power. Nobody is going to be. Ana rabbakumul a'la. I am the greatest of your lords. So the moon gets colonized, we have the government there, then what about Mars? We're going to go there and put our flag there. We're going to colonize Mars, and then who's going to be there?
I am.
Probably not me, but I'm talking about eyes in general. Right? And every single planet in this universe, if we were to find it and go put our flag there, it will still not be satisfied. Why? Because this soul has taken the concept of power from فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهِ لَا تَبْدِيلَ لِخَلْقِ اللَّهِ. It's taken the concept of power from the nature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the absolute mighty, the powerful. Yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And for any God to be any less is not God. True? There cannot be two gods. There cannot be two gods. There has to be one God. So in our pursuit of power absolute with territory, we create this oppression that you see around the world, where people are not satisfied by being the ruler on 10 countries, 20 countries, 72 countries. They want to be the ruler, right, of the whole world by bringing, you know, you guys who use the word as well, you've learned it. By bringing a new world order. By globalization, by having, you know, for example, today is the Black Friday. For Black Friday to exist in everywhere. We didn't used to have it in Canada, now it's in Canada too. The Friday has become black over there too. Slowly, what you will see that all of the different countries will be doing Black Friday. You know, other Fridays' lives matter too, right? So, they're going to have every single place Black Fridays. And slowly, we have Earth Day, right? Earth Day, we have Earth Day. Right? We have Earth Day, and then now it's in Canada, it's in America, it's everywhere. You have Christmas?
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah. It started about Prophet Esau.
Yeah. Right? So what will happen by having all of these? What will happen slowly?
All the countries will have it.
All the countries. You know Star Wars when it comes out?
Yeah.
You know the date?
No.
The people who have seen the trailer 10 times. So when Star Wars comes, guess the whole world, on that day, when it comes out, the whole world is going to run and go watch Star Wars. The day that it was supposed to open, if there was a masjid for Imam Hussain, you'll see less people. Because they've gone to watch Star Wars. Right? Look at 6.4 billion devices connected to the internet. 6.4 billion devices connected to the internet. Now, if you want the whole world to know something, how easy it is?
Yeah.
Very easy. Just put a video on there and the whole world knows about it. All of these steps are being taken because that soul, which everybody has, wants the absolute power, while the animal wants a territory. So now the territory cannot be one or two yellow line. It's going to become the whole earth, and the soul which wants the absolute power would want to rule it. Okay, so this is maybe a concept that, you know, some of you are saying, okay, it's for those people. Let's come to our homes. We want complete submission from everybody we know. You? Okay. You're going to submit to me. How are you going to submit? I will tell you. And you cannot make a mistake. We become gods in the house, or goddess. And everybody in the household has to obey you. If they do not obey you to your liking, they make a mistake, then when they are asking for forgiveness, it's like, no. Not yet. I'm not satisfied yet. Put your nose on the ground. The wife is saying, I'm sorry. It's okay. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. The husband is saying, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. It's okay, our children are watching us. They're getting damaged for the rest of their lives. They are creating an idea of how a husband should be and how a wife should be. Let's not do that. No. This is in every single place where we see it. It's in the centers, it's in the house, it's in countries, it's in madrasas, it's in schools, everywhere. You will see that this soul that wants absolute power with the territory, it's coming up to the place where it's not satisfied with anything. So the nature of the soul is that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, this soul wants. What about knowledge? You're not satisfied with... Actually, knowledge might be the one that we are satisfied with. That if a person has read two articles or three articles, they're quite satisfied that they've got enough knowledge. The soul wants absolute knowledge. What does the body want? See? Your faces were showing me some other time, but it's not that way. What does the body want as far as knowledge is concerned?
More power.
Yeah, the body wants enough knowledge so that you can go and hunt and bring back that deer, skin it, and cut it into those pieces that you can eat. That's the whole limit of that knowledge. Today, that limit is IT degree, okay? Oil and gas degree, engineering degree, medicine degree. And then that is enough. I know how to do that. I know how to get the meat on the table for my wife and kids to eat. I have that knowledge now. The soul wanted absolute knowledge, not to be satisfied with that degree. Right? So because of that, and because of this lower side of ours, and we'll go more in explanation, there is a conflict in between, there's a struggle in between, and that produces the oppression and the ignorance that we see around the world. So what is our test? Is to submit that soul in the submission of the absolute powerful, the absolute knowledgeable. To become humble. To say that I cannot know 100% absolute anything. Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in essence only knows who He is, nobody else. I will try to gain as much knowledge as possible of your qualities and of your greatness in creation, but I have to come to a place where I have to say that I'm humble in front of you. If I do not come to that place, then arrogance will come and I will say, until and unless I see you, I will not believe. And that's where humanity is. They want to see God and then say, I believe. You're not able to see the lightning that He has created. How will you see the creator of the lightning? How? And that's what at the time of Hazrat Musa as well. Hazrat Musa, people wanted to see God. Say, okay, let's bismillah. They go to the mountain. I want to see God. Say, you can't see God. And lightning comes and they are dead. Hazrat Musa is saying, Ya Allah, I brought these guys. If I go and tell them they're all gone, it's not going to be, bring them back to life. What do we want? What is going to make us humble in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is going to make us humble? I'll tell you what. If you get enough money, just bear with me, this is the end. If you get enough money, if your health is always good, no BP, no issues, okay? Your wife is always smiling at you and saying whatever that she, you know, you say. Your kids always being very, very nice and not naughty. You having this immense feeling of contentment and bliss. And everybody else who comes around to you and says, Ahsab, 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 Ahsab. And you have on your Facebook like a million people following you. And whenever you enter into a room, everything is like all glorified and everything for you. If that happens, you know, this God of mine is great. He's a great God. He's a great God. I've got everything. As soon as a little bit, you know, situation changes, money goes away, health goes away, wife is not smiling anymore, the children are not listening anymore. When you enter, nobody looks at you, says, Salaam alaikum, and Facebook million are now down to 10. Like, really? And then what happens? I did Doi Kumail for you. I did Namaz for you. I went for Hajj for you. I did Ziyarat for you. I gave money in your way. I did Tasbih for you. I did this for you. I did that for you. And this is what I get? Because why? Because your own self. You didn't want a master, you wanted a servant. You don't want a master, you want a servant. who just dare to serve you. And as long as the servant is serving, he's great. But as soon as the servant is not serving, why? Because this I is your God now. You say La ilaha illallah, but that statement is only for the tongue. That I is the God. And the rest of the means and the creator of this universe should be your servant. What are you? You were at a place that we didn't even, you, nothing, nobody was to be even mentioned who you are. I gave you every single thing that you needed, whether it was in your body or in your soul. I made you think that I've not created the trillions of creations. I made you think as if you were the only creation that I created. I loved you 70 times more than your mother. I provided the best of the creations for you, for your guidance. I gave you means, unlimited number of means assigned to come to me. And when it comes to me, you think as if there everybody is God but me. When it comes to obedience, you obey everyone but me. I gave you the sacrifice of the best of my creation. The one who loved me. The one who was the father of submission. For whom you say, if you were to say, Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah, I will give you reward for 70 or 90 recommended Hajj. I put the love of him in your heart. I brought you in this world with the love of him. He sacrificed, he showed you that every single thing that you have is just means. That I is not the God. I is the servant. God is the Lord of the Lords. And you come and you cry for him. You shed tears for him. Yet there is a Yazid sitting inside of you that dictates your lowly desires to bring you to the point where you do not submit to my will. And after all of this, I keep giving chances. Maybe one day you'll ask for forgiveness. Maybe one day you'll come back. And how am I waiting? I'm waiting like somebody who waits and gets happy to see the resources that they lost in the desert that was going to save their life. If you were to find out how much I'm waiting for you, those emotions will let your soul leave your body. Know for what I have created you. Everything returns back to you. You are the one who's going to benefit or loss, not me. All of these were words of Hadith Qudsi or in traditions, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks. We need to realize that this time that we're going through is a time for our test. All of these things are means by which the tests are created, and these tests that are created, the hardest of the tests that a person would be able to go through is saying La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah Aliyun Waliyun.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
This is the hardest of the tests. The test of loss of life, the test of loss of health, the test of loss of wealth, the test of all of these things is nothing. When you have said La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah Aliyun Waliullah, it's the greatest of all tests. Because now even your eyes are being tested. Your ears are being tested. Every single thing that you have in your control becomes your witness on the Day of Judgment. Your eyes will bear witness against you. Your ears will bear witness against you. Your hands will bear witness against you. Imam Hussein passed the test of La ilaha illallah. The 72 that were with Imam Hussein passed the test of La ilaha illallah. The test of sincerity. There was a person by the name of Ali Akbar al-Qasri. He used to recite majlises. And he was at the masjid, it was the day of Ashur. He comes out, there was a little girl, she grabbed his shirt and said to Ali Akbar al-Qasri, "Can you recite a majlis for us?" And he replied to the little girl that, "I'm very busy. I have many other majlises to go. I'm sorry, I cannot." And the little girl replied, "Do we not have a heart?" And Ali Akbar al-Qasri, when he heard that from the little girl, decided to follow. They go, there's a room where a few kids are sitting. And Ali Akbar al-Qasri recites a short majlis. After he has recited, he's ready to go. The little girl says, "You cannot go like this. You recited a majlis for Imam Hussein. We need to give you some food." Or she brings a glass of tea. Ali Akbar al-Qasri looks at the tea, feels it. It was cold. He tastes it. He couldn't. He was in a hurry, while the kids were not looking, he drops the tea. He does all of the majlises that he had to do. After Shami Ghariba, he goes home, he goes to sleep, he sees Bibi Fatima in his dream, and Bibi Fatima says to Ali Akbar al-Qasri that today, none of your majlises were accepted. None of your majlises were accepted. For my sisters who go to these majlises because it is a social event or somebody has invited you and you have to go for her, remember this. And when you come to a majlis of Imam Hussein for any other reason but for Imam Hussein, remember this. Bibi Fatima said, none of your majlises that you recited, and this is a reminder for me too, were accepted. Why? Because you recited those majlises for the sake of people and your name. Everybody who is part of the majlis of Imam Hussein, this is a reminder for you. If you're reciting Noha, remember, it has to be sincere. If you're reciting a majlis, it has to be sincere. If you're attending a majlis, it has to be sincere. No other reason should be there for you to attend the majlis of Imam Hussein. But she said, one majlis I accept. And that was the majlis that you recited for the kids. You did not recite it for any name. You didn't recite it for anybody. I accept that majlis. And she says, I have a complaint against you, Ali Akbar al-Qasri. He says, Bibi, what did I do? She said, you know that chai that you threw on the floor? I poured that tea for you. I poured that tea for you and you threw it on the floor. Today you saw our youths performing that play. And the images of that play stuck in my head. When somebody recites the Masaib of Imam Hussein, sometimes our attention is there, sometimes not, sometimes in our imagination, some pictures, they do come, but not to the point how the kids, when they perform the play, that you are attentive and you can see. When a little girl, her voice was heard, and you could, you don't know what the voice of Bibi Sakina sounded like. You do not know. But you know that it would have been a voice of a four-year-old girl. And you hear that voice. And that voice is associated with Bibi Sakina. It just breaks your heart. Bibi Sakina being 4 years old. The difficulties that she bore, the difficulties, the patience that she showed, doesn't seem like that would be a four-year-old girl. I mean, to be slapped on her face? For the earrings to be taken? And still to be able to have the strength to carry on? To be on camels that... you know, to have these camels to run when you do not have reins on a camel, even adults cannot stand, cannot sit down on it. You know, that's why they had to wrap the legs of Imam Sajjad, they had to tie it to the camel. And when the camel would run, the friction that would create Imam Sajjad's legs. For the mothers to see those little children fall off, you cannot imagine. Any, if you've seen camels, they're very tall. And a child that's in the arms of a mother who falls from it while the camel is running. The number of children that passed away in that. To be put into prison. This prison, Imam Sajjad, Bibi Zainab says that it was such in a condition that when it would rain, it would get to rain. If there was sun, there was no shelter. This place was in a condition that I was fearful that any time is going to collapse on us. Living in the fear for the children that any time this house, these walls are going to collapse on us. Said that we were 50 of us and they used to give us food for 20 people. We used to get food that was not enough for everybody. Bibi Zainab used to stay hungry. There was not enough room for them to lie down. Bibi Zainab had to stand all night. It was not 1 day or 2 days. It was not 1 day or 2 days. You cannot imagine. But when you saw the play, you have those memories in your mind. Keep those memories. When you hear people recite the difficulties of Imam Hussein, bring those memories back. Try to break your heart. If your heart breaks, if a tear comes, even if the tear doesn't come and your heart breaks, your heart becomes soft, there is a reward for it. The reward is the forgiveness of your sins. This can become means for your heart to be pured, for you to be able to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, and all of the difficulties that Ahlul Bayt had to go through, with the difficulties that the mothers had to go through, the difficulties that the daughters and the sons had to go through, give us the opportunity to realize that in this world all there is just a test, everything is means to you who are the end. And all of the blessings that you have bestowed upon us for us to be able to utilize to your submission. Allah, get us together under the banner of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah Aliyun Waliullah, that banner that Imam Zaman is going to, that government that Imam Zaman is going to establish, and have us be in that government as his friends and followers.
Salame Kabeye Delha Hussain Jahan, Salame Sham Ema Felha Hussain Jahan,
Hussain Jahan, Hussain Jahan, Hussain Jahan, Hussain Jahan, Hussain Jahan, Hussain Jahan,
Salame. Matra as the law, Jamini Pazirah. Hussein.